Hogan Watch.
I am a real American.
Dave Meltzer is reporting that Hulk Hogan was involved in an incident in Melbourne, Australia. Apparently, a Hell's Angels came after Hogan in a motel, and the WWE Hall of Famer took him down and put him in a hooker hold. Now, bear in mind, there are no witnesses to this story, and the Hulkster has been known to stretch the truth in the past.
Yeah.
This comes on the heels of the story that Hogan reportedly threatened to have the Hell's Angels break the leg of Chase Holfielder, lead singer of rock band The Mile After, through voicemail. Hogan has been in the land down under to promote his upcoming Hulkamania tour with Eric Bischoff and Ric Flair.
All right, stay tuned. OWW Radio's is up next.
Buckle up, Teddy.
And we wish we can get our hands on you and the four horsemen, take all of your body parts and rip them off one by one.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
I don't know any but Jesus. I just went through this whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went, all right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going through this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
All right, thank you very much. Online, World of Wrestling, OWW Genesis. This is OWW Radio. I am Nick Anthony, broadcasting all the folks from Rancho Cucamonga, California. You're tuned in to the best wrestling talk on the air. We're online. World of Wrestling gets its latest news, where legends and fans come together. With that said, I want to hear from you, whether you are a viewer of Raw, ECW, Superstars, SmackDown, TNA Impact, Ring of Honor, or the Indies. We talked them all, including MMA. Your opinion counts. We made it simple for you. At our toll-free telephone number at 866-543-OWW0, 1-866-543-6990. Or you can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. That's radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. All right. Some show news for you. Last week, we talked about Linda McMahon and her campaigning for a seat in the Senate. We brought up how she claimed that Senator Christopher Dodd from Connecticut lost his touch or compassion or away from reality or the common man. He lost all that. I then claimed that she too lost her way from the common man, from reality. She lost touch and compassion for the common man. I stated that her company, the WWE, doesn't even listen to its viewers. It's proven on the website. How or why would she ever listen to us Americans? Meanwhile, she claims she would bring back some sort of reality or personal feelings into the house. It led to some feedback on the gold standard. OWW Genesis listeners chimed in. with their posts and with their emails. With that said, let's go to the bag. Emails here on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
Emails.
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 Emails. Emails.
All right. Old School Warrior wrote in on the form. He wrote, Nick, I know you went on a rant about Linda McMahon's Senate run and how the government doesn't listen to us, the people. Also, you ranted on how WWE doesn't listen to their fans. You want to know the reason why WWE doesn't listen to us? These application questions prove that they bring in guys that have no real wrestling knowledge. Just because you've watched WWE for the past few months and know that WWE has three brands at a pay-per-view every month doesn't mean you know the product. I've been watching WWE since I was 4 years old, and yet when I've applied to become a writer's assistant, I can't even get a call back, and I have a majority of their requirements. I'm just sick of WWE catering to the kids who don't give a dang about anything else but Cena versus Orton. WWE's gotten complacent, and I think some new blood and creative with a background as a wrestling fan would do them some good. Old School Warrior continues by saying, like it or not, WWE's in their own little bubble, and they go for the money, not for the best storylines, which I honestly think could be their ultimate downfall. If you don't have a good product, people and money go away. Yeah, Old School, I went on a WWE site, and I agree with you. The qualifications for the WWE creative is horrible. To be a creative team member is absolutely horrible. For wrestling fans trying to enjoy the program from week to week, the one that really bothers me the most is the qualification of strong understanding of WWE's audience. Old School brought up WWE's audience. Does that mean the kids whose parents buy things for them when they have money or the fanatics that buy merchandise, watch and attend every event that comes to their town and sometimes will travel to another state to see the pay-per-view? Is that the kids who blindly love Cena and hate Orton? Or the true fans that know the product and debate the reasons why WWE sucks and what they can do better? What about this? Why have these current creative team members that WWE have, why have they forgot about us fanatics, Old School called us? The fanatics that supported this promotion in the 80s and the 90s when there was more of a choice in the industry. We certainly have been left behind. Thanks, Old School, for your write-in. Prodigy, also on OWW Genesis, wrote in. He wrote, the WWE is a big corporation, and you have to attain a certain qualification to work for them. Now, maybe you could get your start writing for an indie promotion and work your way up. That way, if you're talented enough, but if you wanted to go straight into the WWE, you have to meet their criteria. It may look odd having to earn one of those degrees for writing wrestling storylines, but with all the WWE does, it makes sense. Still, I would hope they would hire people with knowledge of pro wrestling instead of Hollywood rejects. Can you say Freddie Prinze Jr.? However, that hasn't been the case. Thanks, Pump. Thanks, Prodigy. Here's an email from Pump73. He wrote, why should WWE listen to us? Are you tuning in less and getting most every wrestling fan you know to stop tuning in? I hate to say it, but until that bottom line is hurting, WWE doesn't have a chance or doesn't have to change. They remain a license to print money. It's a conglomerate now. It's not some little family-run promotion on the East Coast. Linda has now stepped away to pursue a career in politics, and to be honest, I think she'll win. Linda has that kind of charm and personality to win voters over. We don't see Vince nearly as much as we used to. Between merchandising, pay-per-view sales, events, tickets, DVDs, classics on demands being a publicly traded company, WWE films, selling music downloads and CDs, do you really think anyone cares? Until you start seeing rating plummet, which I doubt will happen, he says, and bottom lines going into the red, against something I don't see happening, WWE is going to do what WWE wants to do. Well, pump to that, I have stopped viewing. You guys know about my campaign of not watching Raw. I've stopped. I know others who have stopped viewing WWE altogether, not only Raw, just the whole product. But like you wrote in the email, it's going to take a lot more than just a few hundred non-viewers of WWE to show them the light. So thanks for the right, Pump 73, and all of you who wrote in at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. The gold standard, OWW Genesis, the forum, the post that you guys wrote in on last week's show. 866-543-OWW0, 866-543-6990. That is the telephone number. 24/7, send your emails, radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. Dave, Caveman Cave, joins us. What's up, Dave? What is going on, man? What's going on, dude?
Hi, Nick. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing just fine. Also, Aaron, TNA Kendrick. What's up, Aaron? What's going on with you?
Not much, man. What's up?
Outstanding, man. You get your internet working yet?
Not yet, man.
So what's the story there? What's going on? Has your dad gone down there, or are we just prolonging this issue, or what?
Nothing's changed since we talked about it last week.
Wow. So, you got to push them a little bit more, don't you think? I mean, you're just going to stay stagnant. Nothing's going to get done.
Well, I mean, it's not in my dad's hands now. I mean, he took it up there to the internet place. They just got to find a motive for it.
I see. All right. Some other big news here on OWW Radio. I know you guys know, but and the guys on OWW Genesis knows. But here's some big show news here. OWW Radio. Coming up in the near future, a legendary figure in the wrestling world, former WWF champion, Intercontinental champion, tag team champion, King of the Ring, you name it. He's done it all. He's done it, man. Coming soon to OWW Radio, Bret the Hitman Hart joins us here on the show. Apparently, Scott went to a Ring of Honor show. Am I getting this right, Dave? Scott went to a Ring of Honor show, and you know Bret Hart's been doing some autographs, has been doing some promoting for the promotion. And Scott began to talk to Bret about OWW Radio, and he brought up the guests that we've had on, you know, Nick Bockwinkel, Dory Funk Jr., Tito Santana. And Bret agreed to come on with us. Am I getting this story right?
Well, they Scott did good on the Ring of Honor show, and Bret was there, and apparently there was a mix-up of Scott's seats, and I don't know if he was getting not the seats he paid for, or if he was expecting better seats for the money he paid. I'm not quite sure on that part, but
yeah.
He started giving Bret heat about it.
Wait, so he went up to Bret and started complaining to Bret about his seats at Ring of Honor?
Well, they were talking. I guess he had met him, you know, maybe getting something signed or whatever, and started, you know, complaining about the seats and whatnot. And, you know, Bret, he told him about OWW. He told him about the guests we've had on. And Bret told him, you know, to hook up with his email and try to work something out. And apparently, you know, an email's been sent, and Bret has said that, yes, he's interested in coming on the show. And It should be great.
Man, I was speechless when you called me the other day. Yeah, I thought you were joking with me when you brought up you brought it up to me. I didn't know what to say, man.
I was speechless myself.
Because here he is, Bret the Hitman Hart is by far one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Going back to the beginning of when I first started watching wrestling in the early 80s, Bret Hart was absolute my favorite, followed closely by Curt Hennig, Mr. Perfect. I was speechless. I'm still to this day I'm shaking. I don't know if I just hope that somebody's going to be there with me during this interview.
I hope to be there with you, Nick. I'd love to talk to this guy. You know, he's I grew up earlier, you know, than Bret, but the things he's accomplished in this business, man, I am gung ho ready to talk to this guy about it. And I got to give Scott, you know, NDX from the forum 100% credit for this, because if it weren't for him having the, you know, the wherewithal right there to say, hey, you're Bret Hart, we're WWE Radio, let's do this, you know. Bret wouldn't be even talking to us, so congrats, you know, props to NDX for that, and
yeah.
It's an awesome deal he got done.
Absolutely. You know, I've spoken with members of Congress. I've spoken briefly to one president, just briefly. You know, he didn't have time for me, that's for sure. I've spoken to singers and actors and sports figures, but I think Bret Hart would, since he is, you know, a childhood icon or you know, this larger-than-life figure that I looked up to growing up, I think this might be the biggest guest that I have ever interviewed or ever talked to in my whole career in broadcasting.
And, you know, like, you guys know that, like, I've made it pretty clear that what I want to be whenever I grow up is a wrestler, you
right.
know, and I mean, Bret Hart is the reason for that, you know, like, I can't remember anything earlier than sitting on the couch in our old apartment with my step-grandfather watching WCW. I remember watching Bret Hart
mm-hmm.
coming in. And, you know, that was the first thing. That's my first thoughts, I think.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, as far back as I can remember. And, you know, Bret was one of my first favorite wrestlers. You know, he's, like, a guy that I look up to, obviously,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I don't know who's doing the interview, but, you know, like, I'm just happy that we're able to get this guy on, because he's going to do more for the show than I think any of us could ever do.
Yeah.
And,
so there you go, Bret Hart, next, coming up. I'm not going to say next week, I'm not going to say the week after that, but he's coming soon to OWW Radio. We don't know exactly when, but he's coming. Lord willing, on OWW Radio. By the way, you can send your questions or comments for Bret by joining the gold standard OWW Genesis. Just go to onlineworldofwrestling.com, click the form section, and there you are. OWW Genesis is the form, onlineworldofwrestling.com. All right. Today on the show is just as huge. Coming up on the program, do you... you guys remember the guy who won that, I believe it was $35 billion, Powerball lottery. I think it was back in 2008. Jay Vargas is a 19-year-old kid who won that lottery and started the wrestling promotion Wrestlelicious. Now, 2 weeks ago, USA Today had an article on Jay talking about his winnings and the whole Wrestlelicious promotion. So we'll do the same thing here on OWW Radio with Jay Vargas and his senior producer of Wrestlelicious, Johnny Caffarella. Speaking of Johnny, also on the show, Johnny Valiant, man. Luscious Johnny Valiant. He joins us as well. We'll take a look back at Valiant's career as well as talk about his future. Johnny Valiant joining us, plus This Week in Wrestling History and the Match of the Week with Aaron Kendrick. Now, Jim Cornette. On September 26, Jim joined ROH as an executive producer of the TV program over on HDNet. On OWW Genesis, there was a post done by one of our producers, Shock, who brought up SMW, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and compared it to Paul Heyman's ECW. In his post, he wrote that he hoped that Jim wouldn't make the same mistakes in Ring of Honor that he made in SMW. Shockich wrote, quote, "Lack of vision and the inability to create their own wrestlers, that was Jim in SMW, whereas ECW had vision. They created a platform for smaller wrestlers to gain permanent employment and respect in the United States and were responsible for making their own share of names and reaffirming the existence of many veterans who were given a second chance to shine." Now, over at ROH, we have a younger talent or younger wrestlers just starting to make a name for themselves, although focusing on old-school type wrestling. TNA or Aaron, do you believe that Jim Cornette will entice Kerry and the powers that be over at ROH to sign older or more experienced talent or wrestlers? With the WWE going after ROH talent and keeping TNA in their rearview mirror. Do you see similarities with TNA and ROH that you may have saw with Smoky Mountain Wrestling and Heyman's ECW? Now, I know you aren't old enough, you may have not seen the Smoky Mountain Wrestling product or promotion.
I've read about it.
Yeah, but do you okay? With that said, do you see any of the similarities that that Jim Cornette might bring in older, more experienced talent over at ROH?
Well, I mean, you know, ROH has, even without Jim Cornette there, that's always been something that they've kind of tried to do, you know. I mean, they used to really pride themselves on bringing in legends, you know, whether it be for one night only appearances or one match only appearances or, you know, for a regular contract, you know, but like with Bret Hart, you know, for appearances.
Right. But what about for a long-term situation for actually staying in the ring and having a belt, much like a Jerry Lynn?
Yeah. Well, there's one.
Yeah. But do you think that's a downfall for Ring of Honor to continue to or to start bringing in? You don't think
Well, I mean, that really just depends on who it is, I think. You know, if it's somebody who people like, then it'll be a good idea.
No, but of course, this was Russo's vision over at TNA, which ultimately led to Jim Cornette, from what Dixie Carter is saying, Jim not giving his 100% over at TNA. Jim Cornette's vision was to push more of the old school respect angles, I guess, more old school related to wrestling and of that nature, while Vince Russo wanted to move forward and embrace Eric Young and all these other wrestlers, which ultimately led to Jim Cornette being canned. Do you think you think this vision will work for Ring of Honor? You think it will continue to work for Ring of Honor, I should say, especially with the pushing that Jim Cornette might entice on Kerry and the powers that be?
Well, I mean, there's downsides to both parts of that. I mean, there's downsides to Jim Cornette wanting to just push older people, and there's downsides to Vince Russo just wanting to push younger people. And I think Jim Cornette had his way more, you know, because you saw, like, the Mafia, you saw them holding all the titles every month out of the year.
Yeah.
And that's just Cornette getting his way. And, I mean, it's obviously kind of hurt the product. So if they can find some way to just, like, mix it, you know, have equal young people, like, doing the same stuff as the same amount of older people, then I think that'll be their best shot, I think.
Dave, it certainly hurt Smoky Mountain Wrestling with the constant older names staying in there and not generating new talent. What do you think?
You know, Smoky Mountain Wrestling was a little different. I mean, yeah, they had older talent in there, but I mean, one of the guys was Glenn Jacobs, you know, as a Unabomber, went on to become Kane, and we still watch him every week on WWE, you know. As far as Ring of Honor, I think Cornette's going to, you know, he's going to add his flair to it, but I don't think that anybody, Kerry or anybody, is going to let him run the promotion. I think he's going to have his say, and they're going to choose whether to veto or let it happen. Cornette's got a great mind for wrestling, man.
Absolutely.
And I posted this on the forum. He's a brilliant guy as far as wrestling goes, but he needs to get he needs to understand that wrestling is not the same as it was in 1985 when he was in Jim Calca Promotions managing the Midnight Express as the NWA champions. You know, times have changed, and there's going to be some gray lines and storylines and angles now that he needs to accept, you know. And if he wants to be successful and continue being successful in wrestling, he's got to adapt, you know. And I have nothing against the guy. I love him to death. But like I say, you know, it's not 1985 anymore. And, you know, he has to understand that people have changed and times have changed and the wrestling business has changed. And sometimes it's about the stupid angles that get the people in the seats, you know. And sometimes it's about, you know, hardcore, just straight up old school wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if he can find a proper balance there, he'll be very, very useful in Ring of Honor.
Larry Zbysko said, maybe you guys remember that from last week's show, he mentioned that you have to change with times. And that's what the WWE has, and look where they are now. You have to change with times, and you're saying that if Jim Cornette doesn't do that, he's going to keep getting canned from promotion to promotion, and he won't be able to be as successful as he once was, right?
Well, not necessarily that he'll be canned. I just don't think he'll have the I don't think anybody's going to put him in a position to have the power that I think a guy like that should have. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jim Cornette is great. You know, he's got a great wrestling mind. It's just I think he thinks things are either his way or the wrong way.
Right.
And that's not necessarily always the case. And sometimes he needs to cut some slack and, all right, if that's the way it should go, well, let's push that, you know. And I think if he can adapt, he'll be great, you know.
Shockich wrote on the forum, Jim Cornette has always had a great mind for wrestling. However, apart from his notorious temper, one of his main weaknesses is his unwillingness to compromise his philosophy, which leads to a lack of vision in his overall booking. Now, from what I know of Jim Cornette and his dealings over on TNA were spot on, Shock. I don't know what you guys heard about him, but like I mentioned before, Eric Young, EY, being pushed is a joke in my opinion. And this is, I believe, what Cornette was saying. Not that I have anything bad against EY. He's not a bad performer or anything, and I haven't a thing against him. But he isn't a draw. With the position that Cornette holds or held, he has to create and keep viewers entertained. His vision, in my opinion, is what we all look for week to week in this current wrestling world, right? Legit, believable storylines with legit and believable wrestlers able to carry the storylines into rivalries that generate money for the promotion and great entertainment for fans. I mean, that's what I think his vision is. That's the vision of Jim Cornette, in my opinion. His wrestling philosophy of pushing more of a respect and an old-school mentality, however great, and we love it, but could it be a downfall like his former SMW promotion? Of course, Jim isn't head booker of ROH, but you know he has a lot of pull. So you tell me, 866-543-OWW0. 866-543-6990 or email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. Up next, Luscious Johnny Vian is on the line, man, right here on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio. All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bluxest, All Time Polls, What If, Fair or Foul, even an eFed called Takedown. More? Okay, OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay, you'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forum. It's the gold standard. Okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
Okay, joining us now, as promised, WWE Hall of Famer, manager, actor, comedian, all-around entertainer, it's Luscious Johnny Vian, man. What an honor. Thanks for being a part of OWW Radio, Johnny. What's up?
Yeah, how you doing? Well, I'm over here in Queens, over here in New York, and just moving my car today because we have that alternate side parking, you know, over here in the Queens. And so I've got this, and I got a guy who wants to sign me up for Aflac, you know. I don't know. This is a bizarre situation. No, I'm still in the running. You know, I'm still in society. I'm still, you know, living a somewhat normal life. I was over in China during the summer for a couple of weeks. My wife's Chinese, and, you know, she wanted me to go over to China. Whatever I did, it was so hot down there. We're about 200 miles south of Beijing. We flew into Beijing 13 hours from Kennedy Airport.
Wow.
And one thing good about it, she paid for it, and then also they give you all the beer you want on there, you know. So there's no charge for that. And then you got that swine flu, and also, you know, you get everybody with the masks on and stuff. So
right.
I don't know.
Wow, man.
It's I'm 62. I'll be 63 in November. So I did a show in New York here at the Producers Club last Saturday night. It went pretty well.
Yeah?
Not a lot of people. I mean, it was just a small, intimate theater, which I kind of like. That way there's only 45 people that want to see me get killed rather than 40,000, you know? So. Yeah. Chinese treated me good, though. They're decent people, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, I had a guy call me up the other day. He was asking me about McMahon's wife, Linda McMahon, running for a senatorial position up in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I don't know. I see her on television here in New York. I kind of said, yeah, I think I know this person. And then she had alluded to her and her husband starting a company 30 years ago. Well,
yeah.
I guess that is true, you know, but I don't know. I think it's... the way society is now with this Ahmadinejad and breathing down your necks and Obama trying the best as he can, you know, it's going to take a lot more. Then, you know, you have all these this joblessness, whatnot. And,
yeah, health care.
I don't know. It seems that Jesse Ventura looks more and more qualified to be governor. But we shall see what we shall see. She's a Republican. I don't know. I'm registered Democrat, but...
Uh-huh.
I didn't even vote half the time. You know, who did I vote for last time? I even forget. You know, John Kerry one time because I was going up against Bush, but
uh-huh.
That Teresa Hines, his wife, you know, you forget about it. But I guess this one has like half a brain anyhow.
Yeah.
Maybe she would be good. Who knows?
So,
I just quoted to the guy last week when they asked me about Linda McMahon running, what I thought. I figured she'd be good. You know, she knows what's going on. She has a pulse of the street, you know, and then she rubbed hobnobs with some of the aristocratic people up and down around Greenwich or whatever. So you got a lot of people. They got that, you know, I got my money, screw you mentality. But
well, you don't think,
you know, if her thoughts are pure, if she truly is most assuredly wants to help people and make a change in this country, she doesn't have to do that. She's affluent enough, you know, she doesn't have to offer her services, you know, and thusly open herself up for criterion and an open lobotomy on her background or whatever. So she must have some clean sheets, you know, when it's all said and done.
Well,
so.
we did a show. We did a show about her running for this Senate seat last week. But what do you think? She does have a voice for the people out there, being with all her wealth, and you know they don't listen. They don't listen to a damn thing we say.
That's true. But look at John Hines. You know, got killed in that horrific accident. You know. Soon to inherit that Hines fortune. You know, he got killed in a helicopter crash. Look at John F. Kennedy Jr. went down in the airplane mishap, too. These people, they have all the money in the world. But I guess, and you say, well, they want the publicity, the prestige. I don't know about that. You know, even here in New York with Bloomberg, you know, he's got more money than Carter's got little pills, you know. And he's not in anybody's pockets, you know. He probably, there are some sincere people. You can't really judge people. You know, I tell you, I read a long time ago, you know, there's three ways you look at it. It's people, who they think you are, what you think you are, and then who you really are, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like a trifecta of sorts, you know?
I hear you.
It's who we feel. You don't know. There's a lot of people. You think they're affluent. You think they're this and they're that. They can't afford to pay attention, you know? So who's to say? I wish you all the best. I mean, we must have some backing up these... I'm on the line with this Aflac guy. Can I hold you a little second?
Yeah. Aflac guy's on the line with him. We're tuned in with Johnny Valiant, Hall of Famer, manager, actor, comedian, all-around entertainer. Luscious Johnny Valiant joining us. He believes that Linda McMahon is going to do a great job if she is, in fact, elected into the Senate. He believes that she's going to do a great job.
I personally feel that she's lost her way.
That's the guy I know with the Affleck. He wants to sign me up with the Affleck. See, we never had any of that stuff when I was wrestling, insurance, or you didn't have a union or nothing. You know, they can push you to the curb anytime you want. There's no parting gifts. There's no nothing, you know, so that's the way it is. But, you know that going into it, so that's life, you know. But, you know, like I said, at 62 years of age, I'm not looking to tee the ball up for nobody, you know, and I'm very free and all that and do what I want to. You know, hop on a stage here and there and be a little creative. So that's the way I play my cards, you know. So
I hear you, man. All right.
I guess I interviewed myself. I make it easy for anybody interviewing me. I'm a little bit long-winded, and I know what they want to ask me about. You know, do I still see some of the wrestlers? The other things, no. Yeah. I really don't, for no specific reason. And do I stay in touch with Jimmy? Not really, not too much. You know, we hook up here and there on the phone, but not too much on a regular basis. And, you know, we don't send each other, you know, birthday cards and all this other stuff, but... not to say we couldn't at some day, but that's about it by and large, man. You know, I'm still doing my one-man show, the Johnny Valiant Show, here and there around New York, and look how I say, you know.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Okay.
You know? All right, Johnny.
Okay, guys. So I got this Affleck cat coming down the street with a briefcase. Now, I hope it's him. He's not. I'll be not a terrorist or something. Who the hell knows? Try to help him out, too. He's got a job to do. That's like $22 a week. They take it out of your pay, you know, 22 clams a week, and then if you get screwed up or you can't get work, you know, can't work if you got hurt, you know, going bowling or something, they pay. Hey, who knows? If it's too good to be true, it probably is. But, hey, you know, there's a sucker born every minute, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did 30 years in wrestling, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, okay.
That's all she wrote. Hey, guys, have a good week, and tell Joe Torre I said good luck with the Dodgers, all right?
Yeah, all right, but I will do.
All right, kiddo. Bye. Bye-bye.
Hold on, Dave.
Wow.
Okay, what was that?
I don't know.
That was,
wow. That was really anticlimactic, man. What just happened there?
I have no idea what happened, dude, but hold on a sec. Oh, jeez. I have no idea what happened.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as...
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Vince Vision,
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pro juice, Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
4369990 radio at online, worldofwrestling.com. Nick Empty, Dave, Caveman Cave, TNA, Andrew Kendrick. Stay tuned for his match of the week last week. But wow. What do you think of that? I guess. I don't know if you want to call it an interview. Because he basically did it himself, man. I don't know if it was his stand-up from his one-man entertainment act that he does, or promoting that wrestle art program that Evan Ginsberg is into. I don't know. I don't know. What's the deal with the Affleck, man? We got to get him.
I don't know.
We got to get him back on. I caught Evan Ginsberg after the interview during the break to find out if this was normal for Johnny Valiant. And he didn't answer, so we'll find out. Man, that's crazy. Funny guy, though.
Oh, yeah. It was very entertaining. It's just... I just came out of left field. I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, we had so many questions to ask him, too, and he just went off on his own, man.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Jeez. Wanted to ask him, how did the talent rate compare to the guys in the bigger WWF and the AWA as far as the ring ability and being able to
be coaches. I mean, we couldn't even ask you anything.
That's going to go down whether you like it or not as one of the best interviews that you've ever done and one of the highlights of your career.
I didn't ask him anything. I tried to. You heard me try to. I tried to sneak a word in, but he wouldn't let me. Jeez. But oh well, Johnny Valiant. Maybe we get him on next week, and maybe we can just do 15 minutes with Johnny Valiant every week.
That'd be awesome.
Just have him.
We can just sit back and listen.
An OWW radio with Johnny Valiant doing 15 minutes of stand-up every week. All right, Aaron Kendrick, the match of the week. You all set, dude?
I'm set.
There we go.
OWW radio.
All right, match of the week with Aaron Kendrick. You can send it to radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com, or if you are a Genesis user, just private message TNA. Aaron, go for it.
All right, man. Last week we had a couple good matches. You know, I mean, it's improved gigantically from last week's match of the week. We didn't even have one.
I remember.
Yeah, and. Well, I mean, there was a couple good ones, and match of the week this week came from ECW, as we had Christian taking on Zack Ryder. Now, Nick, what are your thoughts on Zack Ryder?
I'm not a big fan of Zack Ryder, but we need to evolve in wrestling, and we need more talent in the WWE. So, why not? I guess him and Dolph Ziggler. Swagger as well. These are the future of WWE, and they're basically doing their thing on ECW. They're not getting a lot of viewership there, so in my opinion, he's not doing too well. But you give him a match of the week, so he's doing something.
Ryder's got a great gimmick. You know it. You know it.
No, I don't, because I don't watch him.
You know it.
Dave,
anyway.
Dave, do you watch it?
Raw?
No, this is the ECW.
Oh, see, ECW, Dave, no, see, I haven't watched ECW, and I can't tell you how long.
Yeah, see, Dave doesn't even know where Zack Ryder is, so he can't be doing too well.
That or he just don't care about this show.
or the product of WWE.
Yeah.
That's all my right. thing. I mean, I'll watch TNA before I watch that.
Yeah. I'll watch ROH before either of the two.
Oh.
I'll watch Glow.
Yeah. All right, go for it.
All right, we...
Glow? That didn't even come on anymore. What are you talking about?
I got tapes.
I bet you do.
All right. Can we do a match of the week here?
By the way, Johnny C. Caffarella with the Wrestlicious guy, he's got a background in Glow.
Really?
Yeah, we'll find out coming up here shortly. Go ahead. Sorry, Aaron.
All right. Christian comes out with the win, and it was a good match.
I never watched Glow, though. I mean, Glow, it was a it always came on too late for me or too early for me, and I was just, you know, it's women's wrestling. That's another thing. I don't know how people got into women's wrestling. I know it's a niche for it, and there's a market for it, but I never knew that it was so huge. And watching the knockouts and knowing that most of them come from chick fight TV has gotten me interested a little bit in women's wrestling and watching these chicks fight. And it's sometimes a hell of a lot more entertaining than some of the guys, especially here in WWE. That's for sure.
I don't know why people got into it, but I know even back – when I was a kid, you know, buying the aftermags, they'd have girls' apartment wrestling right on the cover.
Yeah.
You know?
This summer, I was watching a match at the ROH Caged Collision pay-per-view, and they had a Shimmer championship match.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it was, but... there was one woman that had a Boston Crab locked in, you know, like a simple Boston Crab.
Yeah.
She did a bridge back onto her head Damn. Well, she had this Boston crab walked in. I'd never seen anything like it before in my life.
Yeah, they can do all those type of moves because they're very flexible, and they can do all those type of moves with agility and the stamina that they have. They can also high fly, and some of them have power. Look, just look at Awesome Kong, for crying out loud. Somebody said could actually take on some of them.
I don't know if either one of you ever seen the Stranglemania tapes, but if you watch some of them, they'll bleed in matches over there in Japan.
Holy crap.
You know, they're doing barbed wire matches and everything.
Yeah, speaking of, it's a nice rivalry starting over on TNA with Alisa, the future legend, Alisa, am I saying it right? Alisa, future legend, and the new chick over there at TNA from Japan. I don't even know her name, for crying out loud. But a nice rivalry starting up over there.
Now.
Yeah, Alicia blindsided her when she was doing that interview there at TNA. But I don't know. It's getting very exciting, that knockout division over at TNA.
What a great match of the week segment we've had this week.
No, I'm sorry, Aaron. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead, dude.
Hey, we're done.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, go.
I said something, then you just jumped in. You know, I never really watched GLOW all that much.
No, I didn't.
You did.
No, I didn't.
You did.
All right. Well, I'm saying, no, I didn't watch GLOW all that much.
Well, all right.
All right, go ahead. Match of the week, Aaron Kendrick. Go for it.
All right. We got Christian and Zack Ryder this week. A couple weeks ago, Ryder wins the battle royal and gets his number one contendership, and last week, I'm saying they put on a great match, you know, 15 to 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And, you know, Christian did a good job of carrying Ryder throughout the match, and, you know, it wasn't until close to the end that Christian started getting momentum. And, you know, I think I've said it before in the match of the week that Christian is one of the best workers in the world. He can put over just about anybody and do it in a really good way. And last week, he established Zack Ryder. He put him up there on that same line of people as Christian and as Tommy Dreamer and all these big established people like, mm-hmm. you know, William Regal. And
really?
You know, he did a good job. Both of them did. And it got match of the week.
Where is the rivalry going right now? Where is this feud going? Is it possibly Hell in a Cell or what?
You know, I don't know. They had an eight man tag match that involved both of them tonight on ECW.
Okay.
I guess they're gonna try and get Regal in there again with Christian.
Hmm. All right. So that is your match of the week.
That's my match of the week.
Ryder and Christian over at ECW last week's match of the week here on OWW Radio. I personally think GLOW is far more entertaining. All right. 866-543-6990. 866-543-6990. Radio at online. worldofwrestling.com. You can send your match of the weeks to radio to that email address or on the form. The gold standard, OWW Genesis, just private message, TNA, Aaron Kendrick over there on that form. All right, quick break, come back with some headline news from the industry. Big news happening tomorrow involving Jeff Hardy. We got some UFC news. What else we have? More on that Hogan story, beating up a Hell's Angel, which I don't believe.
Yeah.
What is the hooker hold? I don't even know what that is. What is a hooker hold?
I'm assuming it's some kind of real deal shoe hold you put on somebody that incapacitates them, but I can't see Hogan tying his own shoes, much less doing that to somebody else.
No, I thought it meant the missionary position.
Oh,
uh-huh.
Maybe you get paid for doing the hold.
OWW Radio, right back.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. ClickWrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. You can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
Nick Anthony.
Six, 543-6990. Some news on Jeff Hardy. His preliminary hearing is tomorrow, man, on the charges of felony trafficking and opium, two counts of felony possession with intent to sell or deliver a Schedule 3 controlled substance, felony maintaining and dwelling to keep controlled substances, felony possessions of cocaine, misdemeanor possession of drug paraphernalia. Just a preliminary hearing. They're going to find out if he pleads guilty or not, which I think he should just get this over with or not. What do you think? You think he should just say, I'm guilty. You know what? Let's just get this over with so we can move on. Because if he goes in there saying, I'm not guilty, Your Honor, he's going to look like an idiot, especially if they found all this paraphernalia in his home. He's going to look like an idiot.
Yeah.
I was reading an article.
From what I read on the forum, Daniel said that you know, that DA is pretty tough, too, in North Carolina there, in that town.
Yeah.
So, it might be best just to, you know, try to plead the case down. I think tomorrow is just going to be a cut and dry type of thing, but later on his lawyer is going to be putting in stuff. Look, we'll plead guilty to this, this, and this if you'll drop this and this and this.
Yeah.
Because right now he's looking at some serious time. If he gets charged with everything he's, you know, if he gets found guilty of everything he's charged with.
Yeah, once we find out what he's getting charged with and what he's pleading, we'll get on Brian Oxman. And we can go over exactly. But it's different terms. Like you said, Daniel mentioned it on the forum. There's a stricter DA or whoever they have out there is just stricter. Are more strict on things of this nature involving drugs and things of that likeness. So we'll find out here on OWW Radio with this story developing. Other news, Chuck Liddell, some MMA news, did better on Dancing with the Stars this week, tying for second place in the Tangle with 19 points. He is, however, currently in 11th place overall. All these stories basically are from the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Over at F4WOnline.com. Here's another story. Colt Toombs, the son of Roddy Piper, fights this week at Sport Fight 26 at the Spirit Mountain Casino in Grand Rude, Oregon. His opponent is Matt Slauser. Any idea who that guy is? Matt Slauser? I didn't even know Roddy Piper's son wrestled. Apparently it does. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Here's some more MMA news. Kimbo, on a media call today, said tomorrow's fight with Roy Nelson was one of his best ever, and he wasn't crying about anything. He also claimed that he never turned down a fight with Seth Pedrulli, and that if Dana wanted to put that fight together in UFC, he'd jump at it. Some baseball news involving the wrestling industry. The Yankees are auctioning off their replica WWE Spinner Championship over the next 2 days. It was introduced to the club by Johnny Damon, a hardcore wrestling fan who presented it to the player of the game, and that person had to wear it and be responsible for it until the next player was crowned. It's signed by a who's who of the club and is currently at $5,000. You can bid by going here. Dave, what a collection. What a piece to add to a collection, wouldn't it be?
It'd be awesome to have it. You know, I don't like the spinner, and I don't like the Yankees.
Yeah.
But as a collector's piece, that would be awesome to have. I mean, if nothing else, for, you know, 10 years down the road or whatever, you're going to get three times what you pay for it.
Yeah, yeah. Here's some Lillian Garcia news. Lillian was married yesterday. She's already starting to take wrestling convention date, so look for Lillian Garcia in the next wrestling convention near you, I suppose. Latest word about Vicky Guerrero. Vicky's appearance on the 10th anniversary of SmackDown will be in the role of giving tribute to Eddie Guerrero and not as the old heel GM. SmackDown did a 1.9 this week. Impact did a 1.0 and 1.4 million viewers. Let's see. What else here is in the news? F4W Online. Best wishes to Buddy Wayne, who goes in for open heart surgery tomorrow morning. You can still send get well wishes to Buddy Wayne at Verizon.net. That's Buddy Wayne at Verizon.net. He wants to thank everyone for their emails and letters thus far. I think that about does it in the news. Oh, JR. He was in the news today talking about various topics. Bret Hart was one of them, and how WWE is formatted in TV. Good reads you can read over there at wrestling, F4WWrestling.com. All right. With that said, we are pretty much out of time this first hour. Wrestlicious Jay Vargas and senior producer of that program, Wrestlicious. I don't see why that's so hard for me to say. Wrestlicious. Anyway, senior producer of that program, Johnny Caffarella, who has some ties to Glow Wrestling, is going to be on in this next hour. So we'll take a quick break, come back, and start the show with Jay Vargas, this 19-year-old guy. What I would do to have like a percentage of that $35 million. I tell you one thing, I wouldn't start a wrestling promotion with it. But from what Johnny told me, he said that a lot of people get the misconception that he put all his money into Wrestlicious, which isn't true. He only put some of it. So he knows what he's doing. To be a 19-year-old kid, he's got other investors involved, and he's got his money tied up and everything. He doesn't have his eggs all in one basket. So that's good news. We'll talk with him coming up next here on OWW Radio, 866-543-6990.
OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past. ECW, WCW, and the Golden Age of Professional Wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloxest, All Time Pose, What If, Fair or Foul, even an eFed called Takedown. More? Okay, OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay, you'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forums. It's the gold standard. Okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
Nick Anthony.
All right, Nick Anthony, OWW Radio, 866-543-6990, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. Wrestlicious, man, out of Tampa, Florida. And its owner, promoter, Jay Vargas, joining us here on OWW Radio. Also, senior producer of Wrestlicious program, Johnny Caffarella. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Nick.
Not a problem, man. Now, before we talk wrestling, let's start off by saying congratulations to you, Jay, on your win. It was 2008.
Thank you.
It was 2008, correct, when you won?
Yes, it was 2008. I was 19 at the time, turning 20.
All right. And now, this was in the Carolinas. Was it South Carolina it was?
Yes, it was South Carolina.
All right, so you go into this store there in South Carolina, and you just randomly pick this Powerball ticket. And
No, people make it seem like I randomly picked, but the numbers, they were already there. I already knew what numbers I wanted to pick. The numbers were in my head. These numbers weren't handpicked by me. In fact, I don't know where the numbers came from, but I honestly tell you, you know, that these numbers came to me. You know, I woke up one morning with numbers in my head instead of a song in my head.
Wow.
You know what I mean, Nick?
Yeah, I absolutely do. So you just woke
You ever wake up to work and you got that, you got a song stuck in your head or something like that, or when you're driving down the road to work or something like that?
That's funny.
You have a song stuck in your head?
Yeah, that's funny. It's funny you mentioned
that. Well, this particular moment, Nick, I didn't have a song stuck in my head. I had numbers in my head.
Wow.
I could clearly see, like, me sitting in the classroom, you know, with a chalkboard and numbers on that chalkboard.
And you just played these numbers and boom, they hit.
Yeah, it was my first time playing.
Wow, that's funny that you mentioned that, because last week I had Larry Zbysko on my mind, and I decided to just run an interview with Larry Zbysko, not knowing anything, you know, what's going on with Larry Zbysko. I just had it in my head, and I wanted to run it. And it's good that you went with that feeling, because look at you now, man. You're a millionaire.
Yeah, I know, right?
So, dealing with what wrestlers, you decided to move out to Tampa, knowing that a lot of wrestlers live out there, right?
Yeah.
So you decided to move to Tampa, Florida, and what made you get into the wrestling game? You're a fan of wrestling your whole entire life, right?
I'm a really big fan of wrestling.
And what were some of the promotions that you enjoyed watching?
WWE, I'm still a WWE fan.
Big WWE fan.
You know, I'm not gonna lie, I'm still a WWE fan. I've been a WWE fan since I was three. Back then it was WWF.
Right. Did you get into any of the indie promotions? What about WCW? ECW?
Yeah, I love WCW. WCW.
Now, who are some of your favorite wrestlers?
With Hollywood Hogan and NWO. That was great.
Yeah, the whole NWO faction. Who are some of your favorite talent, your favorite wrestlers growing up?
You know who really, you know, let me rephrase that. Who made me start watching wrestling was, I have to say, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage.
All right, cool.
Do you remember their beef back in the 80s?
The Mega Powers. I loved them.
I love that whole, I love the scheme with Macho Man Randy Savage and Jake the Snake. Do you remember their beef?
Absolutely. So you grew up a wrestling fan. Some of your favorite wrestlers: Hogan, Macho Man Randy Savage, Jake the Snake Roberts. Ultimately, you liked the WWF promotion, WWE promotion. Now, what do you think of its current state right now, knowing that you grew up watching the 80s and the 90s professional wrestling in WWE? How do you feel the current state of this new generation, the entertainment, if you will, state of wrestling it is in right now?
As far as the status of it now, I think it's propelled.
Oh, really?
You know, WWF opened up a lot of doors for wrestling promotions. It also opened up doors for my wrestling promotion, you know?
So you don't think that the current style of wrestling disrespects or hinders the growth of the wrestling industry for the future?
Say that again?
You don't think the current state of the wrestling industry, the way McMahon has it as a more entertainment, you know, he's having these guest hosts come in every week. You don't think that hinders?
Yeah, no.
You don't think that hinders any way, shape, or form the future of the wrestling industry?
No, I don't think so.
Wow. Okay. But knowing that you,
I don't think so at all.
But knowing that you grew up watching the 80s style of wrestling and that old school mentality that almost everyone has nowadays, and longing for wrestling to return to some sort of degree back to that state, don't you miss that style of professional wrestling?
I do miss that style of professional wrestling. I really do. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie.
That's why you brought back WrestleMania, which is a little bit different. Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, exactly.
Good point there, Johnny. Of course, Johnny Caffarella joining us here. He's the senior producer of WrestleMania. which Johnny has a professional wrestling background as well. Johnny, tell us a little bit about yourself and the promotion that you were working for.
Well, I worked for the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, which I'm sure you heard of. For 5 years, I was the company manager and then a producer over there, and I also hosted GLOW for the last 3 seasons that we were on the air.
All right, cool. If somebody would go to YouTube, how would they recognize you? You told me the other day you're the guy in the blue suit, right?
I'm in the blue suit. I look a lot younger.
Yeah, right. Jay, what made you go with women's professional wrestling instead of men?
Just because it was something new and it's something different, and this is a show about gorgeous ladies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me.
It's all about the females. These females, they're very, very talented. They're actresses, they're models, they're wrestlers.
What big names did you do you have coming into the promotion there?
Well, basically, Nick, in our business model, what we're doing is taking some of the top indie wrestlers and putting them into pretty much what was pretty much like the GLOW format of an action comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the difference being that the wrestlers are very, very talented. If you remember GLOW, one of the concerns was, and the criticisms has been over the years, is that the wrestling was horrible,
right,
and that we just took actresses and trained them to wrestle. Well, in this model, we take people who are currently on the indie scene, like maybe a Daisy Hayes or Mercedes Martinez, and put them into a colorful character.
Okay, I see what it is.
Okay.
Over on TNA, they focus a lot on the divas. Not the divas. They call them the knockouts. On WWE, they call them the divas. On TNA, they focus on the knockouts. What do you think of the knockouts over on TNA? Do you think they possess the same style of wrestling that you're trying to portray over there on Wrestlicious, Jay?
Well, I think those knockouts are incredible. I think they do a great job over there with them.
Mm-hmm. And what about WWE's divas?
Well, the problem with them, to me, is that they're a little bit generic, and they don't really have really defined characters. Now, with Wrestlicious, Jay and I worked together to really create some colorful characters that are really going to be different from each other and really grab viewer attention, I think.
Now, does Jay do some of the writing for the program, or he's just a talent and he follows directions just as everybody else?
Well, we run everything by Jay. We do have some writers, and we do run everything by Jay for his approval. And he has ideas, and he interjects. I'm talking about him like he's not here.
Right. Jay Vargas and also Johnny Caffarella. Jay is the youngest Powerball winner ever. Started this Wrestlicious promotion out in Tampa, Florida. The Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, he's doing some appearances for you guys promoting Wrestlicious, correct?
He's actually an integral part of the show, and he's a consulting producer for us.
Mm-hmm. Consultant producer. Now, you guys were in USA Today. USA Today mentioned that you guys are Mad TV plus the WWE plus Baywatch plus Dave Chappelle, and that equals Wrestlicious. Does that give you guys any justice?
Those were Jay's words, I think.
Oh, was it? So it is.
But he's right. That's what it is.
Yeah. All right. With that said, Jay Vargas wins the Powerball. Now at 21, owner, promoter of Wrestlicious, Lacey Von Erich, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart is all a part of it, as well as Johnny Caffarella, GLOW, man. All right, they're joining us here on OWW Radio. Fellas, I want to say thank you for coming on OWW Radio, giving us a little bit of your time. I would love to have you guys come back on so we can get in-depth into Wrestlicious. I would love to spend more time with you guys. Thanks for coming on again. You can email us anytime, give us a call anytime, and you're welcome here on OWW Radio. 866-543-6990, radio at online, worldofwrestling.com. There they go, Jay Vargas, Wrestlicious.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the indie scene. All this and more can be found on one site. The Hero Sask, with everything wrestling. Head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Nick
Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pros use, Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Nick Anthony.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
All right, Jay Vargas and Johnny Caparella of Wrestlelicious in our last segment. Easier. We're gonna have them on again, I'm sure.
Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Dave Caveman Cave, Aaron Kendrick. Still joining us on the line here, getting ready for this week in wrestling history. Tons of things happened this week in wrestling history. We're going to go over a little bit. Dave, you all set for this week?
I'm all set, Nick.
All right. All right. This week in wrestling history. Long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. Dave, Cave,
Mag, Cave. OWW Radio.
Take it away, Dave.
Alrighty, this week in wrestling history, let's see, where do we start? Let's go with September 29th, 1985. Jim Garvin and Steve Regal, not Lord Steven Regal that we know today, but a different one, defeated the Road Warriors for the AWA Tag Team title in St. Paul, Minnesota. Yeah. Now, that's just me, maybe it's just me, but that's pretty weak booking, man. Jim Garvin and Steve Regal defeat the Road Warriors for the world titles.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know. Anyway, they would hold the title until January 18th, 1986, and I think that's when they lost to Scott Hall and Kurt Hennig, and then the Road Warriors would move on to Jim Crockett, where they would be used more properly as a beast team they were.
Exactly.
1987, Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard defeated Rick Morton and Robert Gibson for the NWA World Tag Team titles in Misenheimer, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
They would hold the titles until March 27th when they lost to Barry Windham and Lex Luger. 1992, Scott Steiner defeated Rick Steamboat for the WCW television title in Columbus, Georgia. Steiner held the title until November when he was stripped of the belt after his brother Rick left the WCW for the WWF.
Yeah, I wonder what is the Rick doing nowadays?
Rick Steiner?
Yeah.
I think he's still wrestling in the indies. I know every now and then he'll make fan fest appearances with Scott.
Mm-hmm.
He's completely quit working out. Totally.
Yeah.
He has no muscle left to him at all, looks like. Scott, on the other hand, appears to eat every pill that comes his way because he's absurdly huge.
Yeah, he doesn't turn down a pill, in my opinion. Did you see him on TNA? Kurt Angle was about to get attacked by the World Elite, and apparently Scott Steiner doesn't know how to do the main event mafia symbol, the hand gesture, you know, the M. So you can see him on the stage fixing his fingers, trying to make the M out of his fingers. Did you see that? No one else seen that? Am I the only one looking at people's fingers?
I didn't catch it.
You got to find that on TNA. If you TiVo that, you got to go back and look at that segment where World Elite came out.
I'm going back right now.
Yeah, World Elite came out, Angle standing there. He walks past World Elite. He gives the World Elite members the M, the sign, the gesture, and then he walks up the ramp. In the background of the ramp, you see Scott Steiner fixing his fingers because he couldn't cross his middle finger on his other finger there to make the M. It's hilarious, in my opinion. But all right. Sorry, dude.
Oh, that's all right, man. That is funny stuff there. All righty. 1997. Yeah. Here's a good one. After Kurt Hennig turns on them to join the NWO, Ric Flair officially disbands the Four Horsemen. The legendary stable that formed in 1986 was of such a force in the NWA, included numerous members over the years, but most will remember the original lineup of Ric Flair, Ole Anderson, Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard as a true version of the faction.
Yep.
I also like the one with Barry Windham in it, but I like Barry.
Mm. I like Mongo.
Come on.
It was a joke. Come on.
Okay. I'd rather have Paul Roman than Mongo.
Mm. I'd rather watch Glow.
All right. In 2003, Rob Van Dam defeated Christian for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. Christian would hold the belt until he lost to Chris Jericho on October 27th in Fayetteville. This day in 1960, David Sammartino was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And Tajiri, Yoshihiro Tajiri, is born in Yokohama, Japan in 1970 on this day.
Wow. I seen a Tajiri type hold done in Ring of Honor. I know Tajiri didn't make up this hold, but it was that kind of like that spider web hold he'd do on the turnbuckle when he used to do that in WWE.
Yeah.
I seen that at Ring of Honor.
Flip upside down and grab
it? Yeah, it looked like a tarantula. It was crazy. I seen that at Ring of Honor a couple of weeks back. It's crazy.
I don't know who came up with that hold.
All right. September 30th.
Regardless.
It was a Glow wrestler.
September 30th, 2003, Hoss defeated former OWW radio guest Nigel McGuinness for the Heartland Wrestling Association European title in Cincinnati, Ohio. McGuinness will win the title back in November, on November 4th, also in Cincinnati, and I believe that was the last we saw of the Heartland Wrestling Association European title. I think they discontinued it after that.
Okay.
And in 1969, Chris Von Erich was born in Dallas, Texas. You may remember a few weeks back, we did the passing of Chris Von Erich after he committed suicide at the age of 21. October 1st, in 1993, Terry Funk defeated Jimmy Snuka for the ECW television. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dave. It's still my opinion that these Von Erichs are quitters. I'm sorry. We had this debate over an undisputed debate league over at the Gold Standard, and I clearly think I won the debate. The Von Erich family is a bunch of quitters. They are. Yeah, they've done a lot for the business. Well, I'm not going to even say a lot. What have they done for the business other than be there at the right time, which a lot of these wrestlers have done. Be in the right place at the right time. That's it. And that's what I believe the Von Erichs have done.
They did a lot for Texas wrestling. That's about all I can give them. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, Kerry Von Erich came into the WWF and was the Texas Tornado, but that was a pretty unremarkable stint. I mean, yeah, he won the Intercontinental title, you know, okay. And then he did defeat Ric Flair at one time for the NWA championship. But as far as wrestling overall, what they did for the business, I can't point out a whole lot except for Texas wrestling.
Yeah, they're quitters.
You know,
and I said,
WCCW and USWA.
Right place at the right time. That's it. All right, I'm sorry. Go for it.
That's okay. October 1st, 1993, Terry Funk defeated Jimmy Snuka for the ECW television title in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Funk held the title until November 13th when he was defeated by Sabu at the November to Remember event.
Mm-hmm.
In 2000, ECW held Anarchy Rules at the Roy Wilkins Auditorium in St. Paul, Minnesota, with 4,600 people attending. Highlights of the card were Kid Cash defeating EZ Money, with Cash getting the pin after Hurricane Rana.
Yeah.
OWW radio guest Steve Corino defeated C.W. Anderson to become the number one contender to the ECW World Championship.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI defeated Yoshihiro Tajiri and Mikey Whipwreck to retain the ECW tag team titles when Little Guido pinned Whipwreck after hitting him with one of the title belts. Rhino defeated Rob Van Dam to retain the ECW World Television Championship after pile-driving Van Damme onto a steel chair, and Jerry Lynn defeated Justin Credible to win the ECW World Heavyweight Championship.
Cool.
Then in 1961, Americo Sebastiani Constantino, also known as Rico, was born in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's a name there, huh?
Yeah. Americo Sebastiano Castellano.
Yeah, Americo Sebastiano Constantino.
Constantino.
Rico.
Yeah. That'll make you wear some flared pants.
Yeah, okay. Wait, didn't he start out, wasn't he a bodyguard for a strip club or something like that? That's how he started?
I think he was. I think he was a bouncer.
Yeah.
The whole Rico thing is a big work. He's probably married to some hot chick.
No, that'd be Charlie Haas, his partner.
Well, maybe.
What?
1964, leaving Larry Shane, I think that's how his name is spelled, was killed in a motor vehicle accident.
Okay.
Let's go on to, oh man, I just lost my mouse. Oh, there it is. October 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
1989, Demolition defeated Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, a.k.a. the Brainbusters, for the WWF Tag Team title in Wheeling, West Virginia. Demolition would hold the title until December 13th when they were defeated by Andre the Giant and Haku in Huntsville, Alabama.
Ah, the Brain family.
The Brainbusters.
Yeah, but Andre and Haku from the Heenan family.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Haku and Giant were... That was actually a good team.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Andre barely got in the ring, and when he did, it was just to pin somebody.
Yeah, well, it's Andre the Giant.
That just shows you how good a worker Haku was, man. I bet that guy's still crushing Millen today.
Well, I wonder what he's doing now. Somebody should try to get a hold of him.
Has anyone him on the show. Isn't he the one that supposedly ripped off somebody's nose?
Wow.
In a real deal fight, didn't he rip off his nose?
No, I don't know. That's a good question.
I think he did, man.
We can find out.
That's what I heard.
Let somebody find out about Haku. If you got any information, send it to us. radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com.
All right, that'd be awesome. All right, 1993, Sabu defeated Shane Douglas for the ECW title in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Sabu would go on to lose the belt to Terry Funk December 26th at the Holiday Hell event in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
1999, WWF holds Rebellion at the National Indoor Arena in Birmingham, England, with 11,939 people attending. On the card, Val Venus defeated Mark Henry. Chris Jericho defeated the Road Dogg. Mm. Kane defeated Big Show in a no DQ match. Ivory defeated OWW radio guest
Luna Vachon.
Yeah, Luna Vachon, Tori, and Jacqueline in a four corners match to retain the WWF Women's Championship. When she pinned Jackie after hitting her with the belt.
Mm-hmm.
The Godfather defeated Gangrel.
Yeah.
Jeff Jarrett defeated D'Lo Brown to retain the IC title after he apparently hit Brown with a vacuum cleaner. I don't remember that at all.
I don't either, but D'Lo Brown is over. What?
Why don't you start yelling horrible booking now? Like you like to do with TNA.
Yeah, that's true. But D'Lo Brown is over at TNA right now. He's a road agent for TNA now.
Didn't they let him go?
Yeah, they let him go, but they brought him back.
Oh, remember, did they?
Yeah, because he went to Ring of Honor to wrestle.
They also brought back, they brought in Ed Ferreira.
Ed Ferreira also, yeah.
Yeah, Ed Ferreira's working with Vince Russo now, and they said they'd never work together again.
Yeah, I don't think, did Jim Cornette like Ed Ferreira as well? No, he doesn't like Ed either, I don't think.
He don't like anybody.
I don't think, yeah, Jim doesn't.
I don't think anybody likes anybody.
I don't think Jim.
He especially don't like Dairy Queen.
Yeah, he doesn't
workers.
Like Dairy Queen, yeah, that's for sure. All right, go for it.
All right, Edge and Christian on the card defeated the Acolytes and Hardcore Holly and Crash Holly in a triangle match.
Mm-hmm.
And Triple H defeated The Rock in a steel cage match to retain the WWF Championship.
Exciting.
1966 on October 2nd. Rodney Anoy, a.k.a. Yokozuna, is born in San Francisco, California. All these Japanese guys are born in, like, Seattle, Washington, or California.
Samoan.
He's not Japanese, Dave.
Well, he's Samoan. Aaron's right, but he's portrayed as Yokozuna was a Japanese character.
Right, right. And I actually thought he was.
Yeah, I did, too, for a long time.
Rodney Anoy, I mean, the name is not Japanese, but you figure these guys would be born in, like, Samoa
Right.
Well, like last week, the guy that was born in Seattle, Washington, and it's like, man, you spend your whole career, you know, portraying a Japanese character, yet you're born right here.
Yeah. You're born in the country or something. Yeah.
Yeah, you're portrayed as Japanese, but you were born in America, but you're Samoan.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's Samoan, but he was born in San Francisco, California, so that means his parents are Samoan, but apparently he's Californian.
Or American.
Yeah. Or American, if you want to get that. All right. October 3rd. This is a good one. 1983, Rick Steamboat and Jay Youngblood defeated Jack and Jerry Briscoe for the NWA World Tag Team title in Greensville, South Carolina. They would hold the title until October 21st when they lost the belts back to the Briscoes in Richmond, Virginia. And here we go. We were just talking about it.
Yeah.
1999, Vince Russo and Ed Ferreira leave the WWF for WCW and were responsible for some successful angles and storylines such as the reinvention of the Outsiders, the Filthy Animals, and the main event push of Chris Benoit, among others. They also made some decisions that were not very well received by the
like the push of Chris Benoit as a main eventer. Chris Benoit has never been a main eventer, even though they push him as one in the WCW and in the WWE. He has never been a main eventer, and he can't draw. I don't know why they gave him the world title. I don't know why they gave Eddie Guerrero the world title. These aren't main eventers. Sorry.
Well, that's okay. I really can't comment on whether they are or not. I mean, they put on extremely entertaining matches. If the entertaining is what it takes to be a main eventer, then I think Benoit and Guerrero both fit the mold. But as far as drawing, you're right. I don't think they put people in the seats.
I don't think Rey Mysterio is a main eventer.
I don't think so either.
Because he can only draw a certain demographic. And I'm not talking about kids. I'm talking about Latinos, Hispanics. That's the only demographic that he can draw. And that, in my book, is not a main eventer. A main eventer is someone who could draw all likes, all ages, all ethnicities.
Like Bret Hart.
Bret Hart, Hogan, Undertaker, Michaels, even Triple H.
Please don't put Batista in there.
No, I'm not saying Batista, even though... You know,
good.
Even though
people do like him.
But it's far beyond liking.
Yeah.
It's all right. Sorry.
Let's see. Russo and Ferreira also made some decisions that were not very well received, such as Medusa winning the Cruiserweight Championship. Ferreira's Oklahoma persona, where he mocked Jim Ross as announcer and even made fun of his Bell's palsy disease.
Yeah,
that was low.
Yeah, that was a foul. They shouldn't have done that.
That was not cool, man. It was also their decision to put the WCW championship on Tank Abbott. It cost them the majority of their booking duties, and a booking committee was put together shortly thereafterwards. This also led to the end of the friendship between Russo and Ferreira, and was the last time they worked together willingly. Although it is reported that as of September 20th this year, Ferreira has joined the TNA creative team also alongside Russo.
Exciting.
Why is David Arquette winning the world title not in that list?
Russo explains that because they got on him about that in a shoot, and he explained that, I can't remember what he exactly said, something about him not being a wrestler and because another wrestler caused the win. You know, and then he let somebody else defend the belt for him, then it was a justified title switch. I didn't buy it at all, just like I didn't buy it when Russo was WCW.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't see how that publicity stunt helped anything. I know they had that movie. What was that movie called that was
Ready
coming
to Rumble.
Yeah, Ready to Rumble. I don't think it did anything for the movie nor the promotion at the time, having Arquette.
I remember I was watching WCW at the time. When I saw Arquette with the belt, I turned it off. I'm like, I'm not watching anymore. I'm done.
Yeah.
And I went strictly WWF. You know,
I didn't see that movie, Ready to Rumble, until it came on my TV 13 or the regular channel. I wasn't going to the theaters to see it.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Yeah.
Let's see. October 3rd, 1937. Joseph Milton James, a.k.a. the Bullet. Bob Armstrong, was born in Marietta, Georgia. 1961, Daryl Peterson. Max Payne, remember him?
Yeah, the
he was in WCW for a while, and I think he wrestled in Man Mountain Rock or something in WWF.
Mm-hmm.
He was born in Salt Lake City, Utah. Danny Holiday in 1977, also known as Danny Basham, was born in Seymour, Indiana. And in 2000, Bill Solowayko, a.k.a. Klondike Bill, died of bulbar palsy syndrome at 68. And to wrap up the week, on October 4th,
what is bulbar palsy?
1981, Sergeant Slaughter defeated Ricky Steamboat in a tournament for the NWA U.S. Heavyweight title in Charlotte, North Carolina, after former champion Wahoo McDaniels forced to vacate the title due to injury. Slaughter would hold the title until May 21st, 1982, when he was defeated by Wahoo in Richmond, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
1948, Linda McMahon is born in New Bern, New Connecticut. I'm sorry, North Carolina. And in 1961, James Hines, a.k.a. Bobby Fulton of the Fantastics, is born in Chillicothe, Ohio. And that is a week in wrestling.
All right, man. Dave K. Man K. with this week in wrestling history. Bret Hart interview coming up shortly here on OWW Radio. Keep it tuned in to this radio show for more information on when that might happen. Shoot, it might happen next week.
That'd be nice.
Here's the press release. It is with the utmost honor and privilege that OWW Radio welcomes five-time WWF World Champion, two-time WWF Intercontinental Champion, two-time WWF Tag Team Champion, the 91 and 93 King of the Ring, 94 Royal Rumble winner, two-time WCW World Champion, four-time WCW United States Champion. I mean, it goes on and on. On and on. Bret Hart. Coming soon, the OWW Radio. Also, OWW Radio Production would like to thank you guys for listening to the show. Wrestlicious Jay Vargas, thanks for coming on. Johnny Caffarella, thanks for coming on. Also, Luscious Johnny Viant, man, thanks for coming on. Chickfight.tv, clickwrestle.com, online, worldofwrestling.com, radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com, 866-543-6990. Hey, I got a great voicemail from Mark Vance, man. You remember him, Mark Vance? I'm going to give him a call.
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah, man, I'm going to give him a call. We're going to get him on shortly as well. We got tons of things. Tons, I'm telling you. Things coming up here on OWW Radio. Sit back, relax, listen to the show. We got a lot to get to. Coming up in the next weeks here on OWW Radio. Producers, thanks so much. Aaron, Dave, Scott Shock, Daniel, Core, we're out.
Like sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Teddy.